laid on my heart. And it'll take us a little bit. So just put your finger there or marker there in Exodus chapter 32. I'm going to do a little bit of review. It seems like God's kind of led me through a series of messages here. Over the last couple of weeks, we looked at the book of Exodus to see a pattern of God's salvation. We saw that we were born into sin, and quite frankly, we became accustomed to this sinful world and adapted our life to live in it. We learned the temporal pleasures of living in the flesh. We learned how to humanly accept and deal with disappointments that comes with it. That is until God begins a process to draw us to Him. We never sought Him. He sought us. We may have been fooled by thinking our religion, our morals, our good works, or whatever it was, were a cover suitable to be right before God. We had kind of our robe of righteousness. Adam and Eve tried covering themselves. They had their robe of righteousness with fig leaves to cover the exposure to their sin. But the voice of God exposed the fact that they were not right before God, and they hid themselves. That was not something they, when they came before God, they didn't just pop out there. They were still hid themselves. But then God showed them His way, coats of skin from the shedding of blood. You know, there comes a time in our lives when God begins to show us the error of our ways and our thinking. And that is never a pleasant thing to the flesh. Nobody likes to be wrong, do they? To come to the grips, we were wrong about what it means to be right with God. And the stronger the wrong teaching that we've had, the longer you've been under it, and the more you invested in it, becomes much harder to admit you were wrong. I suppose the hardest people to win to the Lord is your own loving parents who maybe raised you with a works-based religion. I experienced this after I got saved and I realized what I was raised with wasn't correct. And immediately, you know, as a saved person, I went back to my parents, tell them about what happened to me. You give them the gospel by grace. But you know, they're tasked to admit a few things. That their parents were perhaps wrong themselves, their parents, and perhaps in hell. Or still living in danger of it. They have been wrong all these years also, and in danger of themselves of hellfire. And the worst thing is that they have to admit that they have led their children wrong spiritually. There's a certain pride about raising your children. And to admit something as important as that, that you failed them in, is hard to take. The flesh will naturally seek to justify itself rather than saying I'm wrong, especially when it's your child telling you this. When truth hits a lie in your life, there becomes a battle, an instant battle for your soul. Egypt began an assault for the possession and domination of Israel, causing Israel to cry out unto God for relief. You know, many a time people seek God at first for relief, not for salvation and submission to God's lordship in their life necessarily. But then the battle rages harder. God sent the man Moses to lead them out of Egypt's bondage, yet it would seem that with Moses, the battle even got greater. The forces of hell, the forces of Egypt became worse and more bondage. The next thing people do is try to supply human reasoning to the matter, trying to solve things by good works or a matter of compromise. Yet God, as He did in the plague, showed Israel that there is only one way. It was called the Passover, and the only way to salvation is through the blood of the innocent, what then was represented by the shedding of an innocent lamb. We clearly now know that it's through the blood of the Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way. They got the truth. That's the truth to the whole world. But the whole world just doesn't get saved by what God has done. But there's something that needs to happen on our end. That there's a way, there's one way that leads us to one place. A place where mercy delays the surety of death and hell. And grace opens up the path to salvation. God is calling you to leave everything behind. Everything. And step into a life of His Lordship. The place is a place of no compromise. It is one or the other. In that place where they were up against the sea, there was only one choice. It was God or the devil. It was Egypt coming after them hard. It's leaving everything behind. As Israel did, as a nation, and as every true born-again believer does, he calls to God for salvation. Last week, we likened that step to, Mike, you'll like this, and we may have some further discussions after this, but signing up to join the Marines. You just signed up. Salvation is always glorious at first with grandiose aspirations. You are proud to tell everyone your choice. As a Marine, you sign the dotted line, you let everyone know. As a Christian, you submit to baptism and church membership and let everyone know of this new life you entered into. You're excited about it. There is rejoicing. There was rejoicing after they went through the Red Sea. There was that first part. You're leaving your old life for a new one. To be a Marine, or in the spiritual sense, to be a Christian. May I add, there's a phrase, once a Marine, always a Marine. Just ask a Marine and see if they were a Marine, and you'll get that answer back pretty sharply. Or should I say, once a Christian, always a Christian. I'm amazed at the parallels of the military in this time period. It's a glorious thought as a Christian, seeing all your sins buried in the depths of the sea. And certainly there's a brief time of rejoicing until Christian boot camp starts. Marine boot camp is a 13-week program designed to transform civilians into U.S. Marines through rigorous physical and mental training. 13 weeks is 3 months. And that is the time it took Israel to reach Mount Sinai. And that three-month journey was a boot camp for Israel where they would learn the basics. They would go into a barren area. They would deal with a lack of water, sleep, and food. They were to learn how to depend on God for everything, to live a day at a time, to make it through that day. In Marine boot camp, you learn everything about your M16 rifle. Is that still true when you went through? Is it the M16 still, I imagine? The Christian learns their most important weapon in boot camp, the weapon of prayer. After 3 months of wilderness boot camp, Christians find themselves at the base of Mount Sinai. It is at this place they'll have a grand graduation with a grand display of God's presence in a mountain of fire and of smoke. They'll receive the Ten Commandments written by the very hand of God, although we will learn in the lesson today, in the message today, that they didn't see those. Those got broke. They missed that part. They enter into the next phase of training. It's at Mount Sinai they'll experience the heart of God. And what your heart, your life, and your personal calling is to be in the army of God. It would be at Mount Sinai they would learn what true worship is. But at that mountain, there'll be a lesson to never forget, and that lesson is the sin of impatience with God and the grim consequences for it. This is the basis for today's message, what I will title, Just You Wait. Just You Wait. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this subject of waiting, of patience. Father, we need that so much. There's difficult times, and we must have patience. We must have our hearts and our minds set correctly to live for You. Help us, Lord, as we look at the examples here in Exodus and other parts of the Bible and even into the New Testament of what patience and waiting is all about and the purpose of it. So, Father, help us as I attempt to preach your word this morning. May it be your Holy Spirit that does it, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I do think it's a very important message for our church. There's a lot of people going through a lot of things right now. We've got a building program going that my wife asks me all the time, what's going on with it? What's going on with it? What's going on? What's going on? And it seems like nothing's going on with it. But you know, it's our human nature to be impatient and to take matters into our own hands, isn't it? Especially when things get tough. But that path is a dead-end street leading nowhere. Maybe you've traveled that road before. I have. We learn in the book of James, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God wants us to be obedient and trusting amidst the most grueling circumstances of life. Because of sin in this world, it's inevitable that we will go through difficult times. And I can say that every one of us is experiencing that in some kind of way today. And our church is being tested currently in a great way right now. And as a pastor, and I'm sure Brother Mike could attest to this, you start to think. Your mind starts to think, man, God, what's going on? What's happening? I have concerns. You get that impatience feeling. But we must be patient. We must endure. And we need to battle the path of self-pity, because that's the road that we like to go down a lot in those cases of self-pity. We need to accept the challenge, and knowing that we are learning perhaps the greatest discipline of a soldier for Christ, to be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. That's where you're to grow to. Christ is all I need. Not just singing the song, but living your life that way. Knowing He's always there, whether I feel it or not. And then I tell you, if you're honest, sometimes you don't feel it. And He's always on time, whether it seems like it or not. I recently heard of a fireman that was going into a burning building to save a dog that was in there. And the dog would not come out. It would just lay down. The dog actually led him into the house and laid there. And he figured out he needed to put the collar on the dog. And then the dog walked right out with him. The dog was disciplined that much that everything's burning down around him, but he will only do what he was obedient to do. I believe we need that kind of resolve, in a sense, with God. Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that resolve, didn't they? And God showed us that. He can deliver. But there's also those who had the resolve, but the end was martyrdom, death, suffering. But it was still the same thing. God knew what He was doing. You know, the world has many sayings, don't they, involving the motivation of patience. Good things come to those who wait. Wait and see. Patience is a virtue, or in the negative, curiosity killed the cat. Israel would display for us the sin and consequence for impatience. In Exodus chapter 32, if you've got your finger there, we're going to read through the chapter there. It's a quite familiar story, but you know, I don't know about you, but as I read through the scriptures, I get new stuff every Every time there's something new or a new thought that pops up. Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings, and they brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. God's eyes is everywhere. He saw it all. There's nothing you're getting away with. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt? I think it's kind of funny because God tells him, it's your people. And he said, No, it's your people. You're the one who brought them out. With great power and with a mighty hand, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn thy from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto this people. Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. That'd be pretty special. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. There will be another set of stones that come down, but it won't be written by God's hand. It'll be by Moses' hand this time. And he took the calf which they made, burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Not sure what that tasted like. I'm sure it wasn't very good. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not thine anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into fire, and boom! And out came this calf, and there came out this calf. When Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? We sing a song about that, don't we? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him, and he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Impatience. Not waiting on the Lord. Taking matters into your own hands. For Moses, he said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angels shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Impatience. Not waiting on the Lord, not staying obedient. Saul found himself in a test of patience that should have been controlled through obedience. It says, And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and all the people were scattered from him. You know, we have all these things. You know, he said he was coming in 7 days. You know, our excuses. But never did he have the right to do what he was going to do. This is plain disobedience. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. He was not to do that. That was Samuel's job. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made the end of the offering of the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. In other words, this is what I see that's happening. This is all my reasoning for doing this. This is all human reasoning and thoughts. And it supersedes what God said. Faith is believing what God said, right? Therefore, said I, the Philistines were come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. So I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. This one instance of not waiting and impatience and taking it upon himself to do something caused him to lose the kingdom. He said, But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Now that would be David. David would be that new king, and he would be defined, if you really study David, he would be defined by patience, amazing patience, before he would become king, and then partially, and before fully. And it's just amazing. And all that went on, and all the circumstances, he would not take it upon himself. He's even burdened by even taking the hem of the garment from Saul, who was sought to kill him. He had much to say about God's timing and planning. He says, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37, one of my favorite psalms, Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 59:9, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Psalm 62:5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Psalm 69:3, I'm weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Psalm 123:2, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He hath mercy upon us. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Psalm 145:15, the eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Psalm 20:22, say not thou, I will recompense evil. Isn't that what we want to do? Give it right back. He says, but wait on the Lord and He shall save thee. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lamentations 3:25-26, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Micah 7:6, quite a verse here. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. It can get really, really bad. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. There's New Testament verses. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 43, it says, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Jesus teaching a parable. He said, therefore, be ye also ready. For at such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. We need to keep our eyes in the right spot. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? This world is stating that. We'll kill Charlie Kirk. We could silence him. Where's your God at? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Seems like nothing's happening sometimes. For this they willingly are ignorant of, but that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There's a day coming, folks. And you better know it. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, here's the question. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I do believe in global warming. That's the global warming that's coming one day. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Boy, that sounds like familiar words from this morning I heard somewhere in James. Folks, tough times are to come. We are to expect them. Do you think anyone going into the Marines didn't expect that there's going to be some tough times? I don't realize what that's going to be till you get into it. It's going to be tough times. We are not to pay too much attention to that. We are not to have self-pity when we go through them. Asaph, in the Psalms, he started down a defeated path and it almost fell into huge discouragement and out of the will of God because he began looking at the wrong things and then began to address it through human reasoning. In Psalm 73, it says, it's a psalm of Asaph, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And I tell you, sometimes I get into it and I think, what am I doing wrong, man? Look at, I work hard. Where, you know, it's foolish thinking, though, folks. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I mean, we've got to watch how we think. For there is no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They seem to rule the world. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Just read the news and the things that go on. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Man, there's people who go and have an $800 steak meal on a regular basis. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out unto them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain. He's saying, man, I must have just messed up. I've done all this stuff. It feels like I've done it for vanity, for emptiness. I could have had a lot of things. And I wash my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He was in a spot where he got his eyes and where he got his mind. We are to be as those who are waiting patiently on God. It will make all things right. And if there's one thing that Israel should have learned, that is that God does not follow our methods and time frames, even when you go back and you look at the plagues, I mean, you had to wonder, why you have to do 10 of them, God? You could have handled this a lot quicker. What are you doing? And I tell you the truth, I don't know a lot of what God's doing. I don't need to know what God's doing. All I need to do is obey what God says. Who can figure God out? I think it's Romans 11 tells us. Who's going to tell him? Nobody knows. His ways are way above our ways. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's going to happen. Things happen. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, in 2 Timothy 2:1. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. This is what we should be doing. This is what we do. Who shall be able to teach others also. Man, I'll tell you, I have a concern. I asked God, I said, is this going to pass? Is this thing going to go beyond me? I see so many things that happen that die with the father who built it, never passes on to the next generation. Thou therefore endure hardness. Endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be what? A soldier. The Christian life is a life likened unto a soldier. We need to get our eyes right, we need to get our mind right, and we need to get our heart right. Mom always has that verse, and we always struggle trying to figure out where that's at, but taking all your thoughts captive. But the end of this story of Asaph that I just said is exactly what he did. This is what saved him. This is what will save you from the path, the wrong path, the dead end you may be going down. He said, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee, he said. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. You've been there before. You know God's children have seen it time and time. God has you. He has your back. He has your hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. God's coming to take me home. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And you know, God was trying to teach his people that, to have no other desire but of him. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Their time's coming. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. To not live a life drawn close to God, putting your trust in him, and declaring his work to a lost world in word and deed is living. When you don't do those things, I'm going to give you the simple term for what that life is. It's a life of complaining. One of those things in boot camp that they learned, Israel learned, is when they complained and they were complaining to Moses, Moses said, you know, your complaints aren't to me, you're complaining to God. Every complaint you have is a complaint to God. Asaph was headed down that path. As a whole, Israel was headlong down that path, and it led to a meaningless, wandering walk and death in the wilderness. Many of Israel went that path. There's many today that are headed that path, but may it not be us. But Asaph came to himself when he went into the sanctuary. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I went unto the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou hast casted them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was set as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh, my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. It is good for me, in verse 28, to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. You know, our minds go in wrong directions. It's real easy to do that. I mean, as simple as, you know, my wife was supposed to be home, you know, and it's been like an hour, and I haven't heard from her, and I call, and I can't get a hold of her. Where does your mind go? Thinking the worst. worry. You know, and another thing in that wilderness and boot camp that he taught Israel was, you're going to live day by day. When you worried and was trying to plan for the next day, it bred worms and it stunk. Where are you at today? What has God spoken to you today with heads bowed and eyes closed? Sister Debbie coming to play. A lot there, a lot to think about. This is not a life that comes easy living for God. It's not a life, it's hard coming to the point of salvation because it is so humiliating that there's nothing you can do. God did it all. Have you truly been in that place of salvation where I have nothing but to just cry out to God? You went through boot camp, learning and relearning those lessons, and you come to the mount. And we see a sore issue of waiting upon God, our impatience and taking things and matters into our own hands, letting our mind wander where it shouldn't go, about to slip into discouragement. We just need to be a soldier, man. We just need to keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't worry about it. With a day at a time. It's good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Amen. Thank you for listening today. Went over a little bit. Not too bad.